We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
Amen. Hey, let's give our tech team a round of applause back there. Can we do that? Well done. Don't cut my mic off. Don't do it. That was a compliment. I just realized as I went to turn it on that I had left it on. And I am thankful that they did not turn me up while I was singing. So, thank you. I appreciate that. Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. That's where we'll be. And eventually, I think we'll get to Psalm 78 if you want to mark your Bibles. You know, tonight, the title is Raising Spiritually Healthy Kids in a Spiritually Unhealthy World. And we have a daunting task. We are asked, in the culture in which we live, to raise our kids to love Jesus Christ more than anything else. More than anything. I think the family's where it's at. If you agree, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really believe the family is where it's at. That's why I'm so privileged to be here working with children, focusing on discipleship. It's about the family. And let's be honest, the devil is attacking the family. Listen, as soon as God, you know, we're in Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to be obviously speaking about Noah, the flood, and a basic message tonight to encourage parents, to encourage all of us, things that we already know, but a reminder that Noah's a great example, and so a basic message, but understand this, if you go back to Genesis 1, God created the world, and then he puts man in a garden, he blesses man with Eve, and you have the first marriage. God says, be fruitful and multiply. And post-haste, who shows up on the scene? And the first family is not a model family. It's a disaster. And the devil knew right away, get the family, hit it. Because the family is where it's at. And we'll look at this tonight as we move along. Let me share with you that a man used to lecture on child rearing. A man used to lecture on child rearing. He had been a professor for a long time, lectured through his single years and his parenting years. When he was single, he started off calling his lectures the Ten Commandments for parents. Appropriate. After his first child, he had to change the title to the Ten Hints for Parenting. Right? After the second child, it became the Ten Suggestions for Parenting. Right? And then, obviously, after the third child, he just stopped lecturing altogether, right? And the Warros over here have six, so they're done. That's it. It's over. But being a parent is the toughest job in the world. Who was here Wednesday night? A few of you. Did I mention I have two teenage daughters? I did. I did do that, didn't I? Soon to be three. You know, raising spiritually healthy kids in a spiritually unhealthy world, it is a daunting task. In Luke 17, verse 26, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. You know, we think about Noah, the last righteous man on earth. How did it get to that point? Here's the last man on earth, and God blesses him, but he leads his family. And we're going to look at this tonight and the example that Noah leaves us. And there's several things that we can draw from. But I know this, similar to Noah's day, we increasingly face people who have a disregard for anything that has to do with Christianity or God in general. There are people who have abandoned godly principles. That's the day and age in which we live. Thank God for you. Thank God that you've entrusted us with your kids so we can share the gospel, and we love it. We enjoy it. I've mentioned we've got a great team, and it's an honor to minister to kids, but we know what's going on. We've got kids in our midst that we love, and we know they've got real needs, and that's why we make it a matter of prayer. But it wasn't long after, you know, we get to the point where God's got to bring down a flood upon the world, and he saves a family, and they get off the ark, and it isn't much longer. What happens? God says, you know, go out into all the world, be fruitful, multiply. And they don't even do that. They still can't even do that. And they build a tower, and then everything's been Babel ever since, right? And we've been, it's just in our nature. It's human nature. the world in which we live. I don't know that our culture is any different than any culture that has been in the past. And cultures tend to, if they start well, they tend to disintegrate over time. But there's a lot out there. The propensity for evil, the tools to target the family have just increased with technology. As wonderful as it is, it's also become very dangerous. We can showcase man's vanity and man's disregard for Scripture. We think about how many times are the Ten Commandments violated on our TV screens. You know, count the innuendos regarding illicit sexual relationships. How about the violence and the blatant disregard for human life, and whether it be TV or video games? And here's the world. We got to take our kids in and give them the gospel. And we've got to take our kids and we've got to try to lead them to love God more than anything else. And they go into places and they're with kids in their schools. I don't care if it's a Christian school. I don't care where it is. They're in places where they're being bombarded all the time. We have standards for dress. We have standards for music. We have lots of standards. And how many of you know if you have kids, it's always under attack? And even the best kids challenge us as parents, don't they? We live in a culture that increasingly believes that truth is defined by the individual, and liberty gives everyone the right to express any opinion. You go on Facebook and you just say whatever you want. I think it's dangerous and destructive. That people can just go online and our kids have social media and people just say whatever they want, and there's no regard for feelings, there's no regard for truth, just whatever. I have the right to say whatever I want. I want you to know something. There's hope for the home, despite all of this. I also believe this, that Jesus is going to return soon. You believe that? And if we believe that, and we don't know how long it's going to be. It may not be in our lifetime. But I believe it could happen at any moment. And we have this obligation as parents, as grandparents. Hey, listen, I don't care if you're in here and you say, I've never had kids or I've not yet had kids. Listen, we're a family. We are a family. We're in this together. So many of you have entrusted your kids to be up here. And they're up here and they're looking at you, every single one of you. I can tell you as a pastor, sometimes there's one or two people that's hard to get your eyes off while you're preaching. If they're sleeping, that's difficult. If you're leading music and you've got some sour faces, you try to press on, you know. Not that I've ever led music. But there's a certain element of trust. When I come in the door with my girls, I believe that all of you are invested in my girls just by your behavior and everything you're doing. We're in this together. Listen, Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, and this is so true, think about this. Because of sin, man has taken the deity out of religion, the supernatural out of Christianity, the authority from the Bible, God out of education, morality and virtue out of literature, beauty and truth out of art, ethics out of business, fidelity out of marriage. And I just want you to know, you know, before I ask this question, the question will be, how did Noah succeed in his family? I want you to know that, listen, this is the world in which we live. I don't want to be too radical tonight, but let's just go ahead and admit we live in a post-Christian culture. And we have to raise our kids in a post-Christian culture. We have to raise our kids in an America that is increasingly hostile to our children. And let's be honest, we all know, don't we? We all know, don't we, that our kids are going to live in a radically different world. These kids are going to live in a radically different world than the one in which we live in right now, let alone the one we knew, right? So should we not prepare them? It's difficult. It's hard, isn't it? Well, how did Noah do it? How was he successful? You could say after the ark, you wonder how successful he was in certain areas. But how did he get his kids on the ark? I believe this, first of all, by raising them to be a saved family. To be a saved family. And I hope that as I define this, these terms will make sense. You look at Genesis chapter 6 now, if you have a Bible or a device. You look at verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I don't care how bad things get, we can find and have the grace of God in our lives. Amen to that. So by raising them to be a saved family, I want you to see a couple things. Well, a few things here. First of all, they believed in the finished work of Christ. You say, well, Christ wasn't there yet. Just hang on. True. But I want to draw a comparison. Look at Hebrews 11:7. Here's what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So here's the comparison. Just as Noah led his family into the open door of the ark, we have to lead our kids into the open door of the ark. Easy comparison. Maybe you've heard it before, but that's what we've got to do. That's the goal, is to lead our kids. I think as we move along, you'll see some more things. But here's another thing. They believed in the faithful word of Christ. If you have a Bible now, just flip over or turn to or push a button to Psalm 78. Let's look at Psalm 78 real quick. I just want to break this down. This passage, I couldn't escape this as I was preparing this message. I think about the family. They believed in the faithful word of Christ. And while you're turning there, let me just say this. When Noah took his family, when he led them into the ark, I'm going to visit this in a little bit, but just think about how radical that was to go into an ark. I don't want to give too much away. Look at Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And all God's people said, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not what? We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come. We want to show these kids right here, right? What do we want to show these kids? What do we want to show them? What's it say? The praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. God is awesome. Turn to your kids right now and say, God is awesome. Somebody that doesn't even have a kid with them, find a kid and say, God is awesome. Just do it. Say, God is awesome. Say you are, now I want you to say, you are in for a treat. You know, living for God is the best, isn't it? And that's what we got to teach our kids. Even when kids don't understand, I'm a big kid, I don't understand a lot of the gospel. But people who are excited about God, I want to follow them into the ark. You know, that's where I want to be. These kids have got to see this joy and this peace and the strength of God lived out in our lives as it was lived out in Noah's life. For he established a testimony, verse 5, in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Listen, I think like the pilgrims who established America and what God is saying for the Israelites is, this is a generational mindset. It's repetitive. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it before God. Because if you don't, you'll lose it. He says in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And then verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and what? Not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And then I'll just finish with verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Noah believed in the faithful word of God of Christ. He said there would be a flood, and he prepared for something that had never taken place. We prepare our children for something that has never taken place, the return of Christ at any moment. We love our kids because they dance and they clap and they do things that we don't want to do anymore because we're embarrassed.
right? Come on. You know, how many of you want to get up and do this, right? I'm never going to live that down. I'm going to stop before I get too carried away. I'm starting to sweat already. But listen, when we think about it, we may not be able to save the world. Can't. What can I do in this wicked world? What kind of a difference can I make? The one that God called me to lead my family. To lead my family. I can't save the world, but I can lead my kids into the ark. I can't go back and undo the sinful nature of my life. And maybe my kids have gone from God. Maybe they're out of the house. But if you're here tonight, you can receive the passion and joy of God. It's not too late to try to lead your kids into the ark, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, how did Noah succeed in his family? Here's the second thing I want us to look at tonight, simply by raising them to be a spiritual family. Just by raising them to be a spiritual family. Look at chapter 6 back in Genesis 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah wasn't perfect in the sense of that he didn't sin, but he was a man that was growing and maturing in the Lord. And I want you to see something. He was growing and maturing in the Lord, and his kids saw that. They were raised by a man. They were raised in a wicked generation, surely tempted by everything that had led everyone away from God, and yet they had a father who walked with God and who was maturing in the Lord. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now go down to verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. What a testimony. You see, a spiritual family is faithful to God. It's faithful to God. Noah walked with God amidst satanic and rebellious surroundings and still found a way to impact his family. Let us draw hope tonight from this simple children's story, but it's not just a children's story. It is a gospel story for everyone to read that Noah was in a world where everyone had turned their back on God. I look around and I see a whole lot of people that can help me in my journey. A lot of great people who love God. I see a great group here tonight that does invest into the church and that my kids look up to and aspire to be. We can take courage from that, can't we? And let me tell you something. Noah just didn't visit God on the weekends. He did it. He walked with God day by day. Moment by moment, the Bible does not say that he forced his kids onto the ark, right? You know how it is when you're trying to force your kids to go to church? I don't want to go to church, and you're dragging them in. I don't see that in Noah, his kids just refusing. Come on, and dragging his kids into the ark. The Bible doesn't indicate that. He spoke to his kids, and they went with him. I believe that his children helped him in the building of the ark. Many people do. They saw their dad. They loved their dad. And I'll remark in a little bit, but surely the ridicule of building an ark, and yet they still worked with their dad, and they went into the ark. And let me say this. Walking with God implies that a spiritual family is focused on the God. We've got to be focused, zeroed in on God. You with me tonight? We've got to be focused in on God. Listen, when we put forth vision in ministry, here's what we do. I've had many questions working with children's ministry and other ministries. What's a win? What is a win for a ministry? You know, they'll do that. What's a win for us? Working with Upward Sports, by the way, we need your help getting Upward Sports, building that ministry. We need coaches. We need a little bit of everything, believe me. And then some of you, you're the right people. I just know it. Because God's led us in this direction with this ministry. But you know, I was talking in a meeting with Micah and Julius, and it was just like, what is a win? Obviously, seeing people get saved is a win, but getting them connected to the family, that's the ultimate win, isn't it? Beyond just getting them connected into the fellowship, that's a win. And I want you to know right now, we've got to stay zeroed in on God, because there is an enemy who knows that the best tool. And we look at revival coming and Summit revival coming and Life Action. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that happens in revival. Families are restored. The devil has a win. The devil has an absolute, let's clarify the win for his minions, if you will. The absolute win is we can go out and do a lot of things, but everything comes back to one thing, that is destroy the family. Destroy the family. We don't want those parents leading their kids into an ark. We don't want them bringing them to church. We don't want them living moment by moment, day by day. Maybe we'll give Sundays a reprieve. Moment by moment, living for God. That's what he wants. You know, the Bible uses the picture of marriage to illustrate God's love for the church. You know that? God talks about the church and his love for the church, and the greatest picture he can use is the picture of love of a husband and a wife loving each other, leading their children. And just as he did with the very first marriage, and what we see devil do time and time again is he gets in there and he busts up marriages and he breaks up relationship. But some people, you know, some people think marriage is just three rings. You heard this one? The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. But that's not God's design. I shared in the Navigators growth group class, the best one in the church, by the way. Put that mic down. Do not turn him on. You know, we talked about this morning, you know, about marriage. And I said, you know why marriage is tough is because our spouse, it reveals all of our weaknesses, and nobody likes to know their weaknesses. Nobody looks in the mirror and see how weak they are, and the devil just plays that. Listen, marriage is so sacred. I am an individual who comes from a divorced home. And my dad and my stepmom will be here, Lord willing, over the next couple weeks, and hopefully you'll get to meet them. I'm thankful for my stepmother. I'm thankful for God, who God put in my life. God can take any situation and make it right. We live in a fallen world. So wherever you're at, God can bring healing. But we've got to turn around. You've got to look and say, do I love my spouse? Am I really a picture? Are we really a picture of God's love for the church? If I love my wife and I love God, my kids, man, kids want that. They respond to that. And when I bring my kids to church, it's non-negotiable. I can honestly say, a guy who's a sinner saved by grace, but my kids have never complained. They don't mind going to church. Mom and dad are happy. Mom and dad love each other. We go to church, we love it. Now, there's some days they don't want to, don't get me wrong, but it's not like I have to drag them in. And it's probably not right to use myself as an illustration and look like I'm something that I'm not. And trust me, I'm not. But I just want to give you an example that, listen, marriage is so crucial. Our children have got to see it. Here's another one. Many of us are disturbed in our homes. Rather than being married to the justice of the peace, it looks like we've been wedded by the Secretary of War, right? You know? And listen, everybody has disputes. Everybody argues, except my wife and I. But many of you do, okay? You do. But the way we resolve our conflict is also a picture of God's love, right? I mean, nobody's perfect. You know, I'm thankful that when my parents divorced, you know, my dad, he just loved me and he kept me in church. And there's hope. There's hope. Hope for the home. But I want to tell you something. In true satanic fashion, the enemy uses worldly wisdoms to supplant godly design. I also want you to see that a spiritual family is fruitful for God. In Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Listen, it is God's plan for parents to be the living example of submission to Christ and the day-by-day, I love it, moment-by-moment example of authentic Christianity for our children. Amen. And then finally, let me just say this, and I think this will really bring this message home. Noah succeed in his family by raising them to be a separated family. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can come to church, we can talk about God, but we've got to realize something. We're called to be separated from the world. And that's why I say parenting is the most daunting task for a family. Why? Because we're in the world. We're not supposed to just remove ourselves, right, into the jungles and away from. We're to be saved. We're to be separated from the world, but yet we're to navigate in the world as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Daniel, as the prophets, as the mighty warriors, men and women in Scripture before us. We're in the world. We navigate in the world, but the world needs to see that, hey, they're not like us. They're different. It's okay to teach our kids, you can be different. I think sometimes as Christians, where we fall is we don't want our kids to be different. We come to church, but we do everything we can so they don't suffer persecution, and they know nothing of standing for God. They know nothing of what it is to be reproached for the name of Christ because they've been taught, just do everything you can to get in. Just try not to make a scene. You see, Noah separated himself and his family to the task of doing what God had commanded. I want you to see that a separate family is discerning. We've got to be discerning in our separation. Noah's family discerned that God's judgment was at hand. I sense that. Do you? And Noah is a great example of discernment leading to actions. God spoke to him, told him what was coming, and he did something about it. Has God not done the very same thing for Noah that he's done for us? Church, I pose the question. Did God not tell us what the days would be like before Christ's return? Did God not tell us how to raise our children? Did God not give us a playbook of how we are to be a separated people? Did God not tell us what is holy and righteous and we're to live that way and lead our kids in that direction? I mean, consider the example of Noah. You can follow along with this. He was asked to build a vessel that was 4.5 stories high, as long as a football field and a half. Someone has done the math and figured that the ark had the carrying capacity of 522 standard railroad stock cars, or the equivalent of 8 freight trains of 65 cars each. This wasn't a recreational vehicle, right? I mean, and it took 120 years to build it. So, the task of raising spiritually healthy kids in a spiritually unhealthy world may seem as daunting sometimes as God asking you and me to build an ark, right? I mean, and then think about how he did it. But if we trust God, he will equip us, won't he? So a separated family is discerning, but also this kind of leads into the last fact is a separated family is different. Everybody say, I'm different. We're different. Can you imagine Noah building an ark on dry land? It had never rained before. Did you get that? And for 120 years, he's building this ark and he's being ridiculed, chastised. And yet he keeps his children on task. And I'm sure he poured into him and he preached the gospel. I think we live in days increasingly similar to Noah's. And this is the wake-up call to us as parents. We're called to be a separated people. We teach our kids the gospel. We share stories in Scripture. But I'll say this, it's just the way it is. Our kids are only going to follow our example. They need to see us living the gospel. They need to see it lived out day by day, moment by moment, in practical, everyday life. Right? The Bible says talk with them along the way. When I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, as I'm in life, just talk to them and speak to them and share the gospel truths. And if you happen to be driving along and you get to invest in your kids and you see a rainbow, there's a golden opportunity, right? Kids, do you know what this means? I've often pulled over and just said, kids, let's just thank God for a moment, you know? And sometimes they're bored out of their mind. Oh, another rainbow, Dad. I'm like, hey, listen, we're going to do it again, you know? And they think I'm a lunatic. But listen, I probably am, and you're listening to me.
But listen, at the end of the day, it's that kind of passion, it's that kind of persistence that kids need to see, because they believe it when it's lived out, when it's authentic. And I know I need to wrap it up here, but I want to tell you the reason kids are buying into evolution more and more is because kids come to church, hear stories, but they don't see it lived out day to day in their families. And they go to school and they hear a bunch of garbage, and then they come to church and hear something all over again. I'm not even here to ridicule all this stuff. I'm telling you what, our kids, we live in a wicked world. The problem is not evolution. Those are symptoms of a much larger problem. The devil doesn't get a chance if we teach our kids right from the beginning. Know it's out there. Talk to our kids about it. So let me wrap up with like this. One final reminder this evening, about the days in which Noah lived. You know, first of all, the world was completely unprepared for the coming judgment. So parents, grandparents, by the way, I don't have time. Time does not permit me. But I heard a great message the other day. I love listening to preaching. And the message was, grandparents have as significant, if not and sometimes a more significant role, a huge responsibility of vesting. So parenting never ends. That's bad news for me, but let's move on, right? The world was completely unprepared for the coming of judgment. How are your kids doing? How are they doing? There was widespread moral perversion and a breakdown of the family. It's happening around us today. There was a sharp rise in satanic activity and growing interest in the occult. Boy, you just read some of the stories right here in the first few chapters of Genesis about who people were and what they did and what was going on. And need I say any more? There's only one man that loves God. There existed a shocking failure of leaders they thought they could trust. I think sometimes parents are more interested in politics than we should be. It's okay. We have wonderful privileges, but God, amen, right? God is where it's at. And there was rejection of God's authority in the name of freedom, and it resulted in the remaining believers standing alone against the world. I know this is kind of a heavy message tonight. I know our kids in here. I hope they can grasp some of it. Some of them are sleeping. Bless their little hearts. But I want you to know tonight, and I just want to put the challenge out there. The greatest thing, family ministry is where it's at. We need to be a church that ministers to our kids. Let me finish with this. And let me say this as well, just be candid. There are opportunities now, and there will be opportunities where we're putting forth things to minister to the family. Opportunities like Life Action, opportunities in growth groups and things that will be come in the days ahead to be able to provide families. There isn't a pastor on our staff. There are wonderful people in the church that want to help you be a better parent, a better dad, a better father. We need to work with one another and confess our faults and seek help. But Matthew 24:36, it says this, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.